Mother's Day next weekend. I love the way how the skit played out. It's so odd that most of the times, husbands don't really get ahead of the ball game. Like, this was a unique scenario. It's always an after effect, right? And you got to be a strong woman not to say anything or act any differently on your special days. And your husband doesn't recognize. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the wife's birthday, and then she never even tells the husband, like, did you get me something for my birthday? Because he forgot. Or like when anniversary. How many husbands just really had to eat it? Humble pie, because you forgot your spouse's birthday or anniversary. Come on. You won't lift your hand in church. I understand. We got one honest man. We got an honest wife, but she's not raising her hand for herself. She's pointing at her husband. How dare you guys? How dare you guys slip up and forget such a thing? But God's grace is sufficient, right? And hopefully our wives' grace is just as sufficient. So listen, I want to give you guys attention, or ask you to give your attention to the screen, because we have a short video I want you to watch, okay? But above watching it, I want you to actually hear it, and I want you to listen to it. And as we're watching the video, would you also silently pray that God would open your heart to today's message? Everybody say, who's my one?
Who's my one?
Let's say it one more time. Who's my one?
Who's my one?
So I started last month teaching a message on who's your one. And essentially, it is an evangelistic demand and command that is on each and every one of our lives. I asked you a month ago, I had some teenagers up here, and they were doing a little skit. And I said, which one do you interpret or you believe is an evangelist? And we had a young lady on this side, and she had a megaphone, and she was standing on her soapbox, and had her Bible, and she was preaching and screaming out the gospel. And then you also had the example of two young men sitting here, and they were just sharing and reading through the Bible or scripture or devotionals together. And I asked, which one is evangelist? And most of everyone pointed towards the young girl who was screaming at people driving by on a corner or whatever the case may be. But what's represented in the book of Acts is not what is represented. In all through the Gospels, there are times where you preach out in the corner or the streets or in the public. But for the most of us, we're ordinary people, right? And it happens through relationships. That's how we lead people into an eternal relationship with Christ, is through a personal relationship with us, okay? So I'm going to be doing my best. Mike is also going to be doing his best throughout this year, and however long it takes, however God leads us, however long, to just equip us to be evangelical, to equip us to all be evangelists. Can we all say that together? Say, I am an evangelist. How did that feel to come out of your mouth? Startling, concerning, made me nervous. I felt like I was lying, right? I felt like I was saying something I wasn't supposed to. But we are, each and every one of us are supposed to be evangelists. We are supposed to be those who see lost people, encounter unchurched people who have no faith in God or Christ, and we need to bring them, share the good news, bring them to a place of getting to know Christ. And I would be doing God's kingdom, God, and this church a disservice if I did not equip our saints for the work of the ministry. Because leading people to Christ can sometimes be work, right? Discipling people can plenty and many times be work. But God uses ordinary people, just like you and I. And if you read through the book of Acts, you'll see how the gospel was being spread rapidly. And that was predominantly, yes, through the apostles going out and preaching and teaching, but also those who were getting saved by the thousands, they weren't just returning back to their normal life. They were then practicing and following, quote unquote, the way. And that is the way of Christ, the Christian lifestyle. And I'm praying that all of each and every one of you that hear the preaching and teaching of God's word, apply it to your life, and then you begin to follow the way. Not wear an identity of a Christian, but you actually live the way Christ lives. Can I get an amen there? So who's your one? Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. And this is going to be every time we preach and teach about who's your one, I'm believing that by the end of however long it takes, each and every one of us will be extremely familiar with this portion of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 22, I think the biggest weakness or failure in modern day Christianity is that we repeatedly are given scriptures and verses on a weekly basis, and yet we do not put it inside of us. It falls on deaf ears sometimes. It comes in and it goes right out before we even walk out of the door. So I highly, highly suggest that you, no matter what age you are, work on memorizing Scripture. Work on inputting, you know, tattooing it on your heart, the words of God, so that you are able to pull them up and use them as strength and vision and direction. All right, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 22. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was also called Peter, and Andrew. They were throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Okay, so that was their profession. That's what they did as a career to provide for themselves and others. Okay, so they fished. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Everybody say, fish for people. I know a lot of the translations will say fish for men, and that gives a lot of women a way out, right? We're not going to do that. We all are responsible for leading people to Jesus, okay? So it says fish for people, and they left their nets at once and followed him. I'm going to ask you a question. I want everybody to raise your hand if you feel led so, or feel so led. If Jesus were to come to you right now, while you were doing mechanic work on helicopters, while you were typing up documents for the company that you work for, while you were, saving children from unsafe family environments or dynamics, okay? Whatever the case may be, Jesus came to you and said, "Hey, looks like you're doing what you're trained to do, what you're well at, what have you, but I need you to come and follow me." Now, depending on what type of day you're having, I believe a lot of you would use that as a way to follow Christ. "Oh, yes, Jesus, I feel holy today. I need out of here." But 6.9 days out of the week, you're like, "What? Jesus, you're talking to him, right? Not really me, because I got to make ends meet. This is all I know. I mean, I'm not going to go out and start preaching the gospel. All I know how to do is build barns and build fences. I'm not going to go and follow you and start being, no." But yet these guys did. And because they chose to follow Jesus in that moment, they were on for a ride. They got a chance to see miracles. You guys hearing me? You ladies hearing me? Okay? So he says, "I'm going to teach you how to fish for people." And they left their nets and they followed him. 21, a little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called out to them too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. I could preach a message on just that. How a lot of people don't go to church because so-and-so didn't feel like going to church in their family, or so-and-so had an ingrown toenail, although they've had it 70 times over the last 10 years, it just worked out for this Sunday. I wasn't going to go because these guys left their profession and their father to go and follow Jesus. No promises. That's what I call radical obedience. Amen? So I want us to understand that Christianity is not on Sunday mornings only. every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year, every single decade, and if some of you are crazy enough to live a century, every century, okay? It is our duty to follow Christ and to lead others to a lifelong, eternal relationship with our Savior. That is our duty. It may come through being a mother, a father, a worker, a leader, whatever it is in your community. It may come through those avenues, and it will. But your first and foremost priority is to follow Christ and to fish for people. I shared a month ago an acronym on FISH, and by the end of this year, all of us are going to know what FISH stands for. Y'all ready? FISH, F stands for friendships. One of the most positive ways that you can lead someone to Christ is to develop a friendship with them. Everybody say friendship. So fish, anybody likes to fish in here? Ryan, how did y'all do? Okay, that's why we don't fish that often, you know. We go fishing, but we don't catch that often. Let's put it that way. So my son was invited by Ryan and them to go fishing yesterday. He was invited Friday night, and Aiden came home. He was excited. I'm going fishing. I said, no problem, son. Tomorrow morning, which is Saturday morning, is the first time I don't have to set an alarm for about 6 weeks. I'm not setting an alarm. So I said, Aiden, you're 13 now. You're a big boy. You're going to go fishing. You've been invited. I've already got the four-wheeler ready. I put the fishing poles and the lures on the four-wheeler so you can ride over to Mr. Boone's house and y'all can go fishing. I even stayed in his bed so he set his alarm on his touchpad, his watch, yada, 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 and I went to sleep because I needed it. And I get up the next morning at 6. I'm like, nope, don't go wake him up. Wake back up about 7:15. Nope, don't go wake him up, Damon. At 7:23, I finally, oh, get out. Just go check on your son. And I open the door, and guess what? That baby's still sleeping. Still snoring. I'm talking about out. I silently closed the door, and I went back to bed. And I text Ryan. I said, sorry, he's not going. At 11:45, the boy's still sleeping. I said, son, did you stay up late last night? Yes, sir. I said, well, how do you think that was going to work out for you when you were invited to go fishing? How would you have felt out on the water in the Gulf? Not good, not good. And I'm just rambling on. But the message I'm trying to teach is when you know you got good plans, you alter your plans today so that you can enjoy the plans for tomorrow. Amen? I've been trying to preach to my son. You don't go to bed late because then the next day is going to be hard. But when you're fishing for people, you'll be like Ryan and all the guys that went fishing, and you'll come back with nothing. So when I say fish, F-I-S-H, I say we need to build friendships. A lot of you have tried witnessing to your friends. You tried inviting your friends to church, and you come back like Ryan and myself many, many times with nothing in the boat, right? Sunburnt, aching, hurting, broke. It can happen the same way with fishing for people. I promise. It happens. But guess what happens to Ryan? Guess what happens to Damon? Sooner or later, we muster up the courage to fill the boat back up, load the kids back up, and get back out there and try again, right? It has to be the same way for people's souls. You can't just give up the first or second or 30th time that no one takes your bait. So we need to build friendships. Why do we need to build friendships? Because that's how you have an open door into someone's life. Now, I know a lot of you are similar to me. You're a human, right? We're all human. And I remember hearing messages about going out and teaching and preaching and evangelizing and leading people to Christ and being a witness. But I don't know where to go. I don't have any friends. Y'all say those things? I don't know who to reach out to, you know? Well, I'm going to give you some examples. We can start with your family. How do I find my one? You're already in a family, right? Some of y'all didn't choose to be in a family, but you're there, you know? But who can show more love to your family than you? There's someone in your family, I promise you, that does not know Christ at all, that really desperately needs to know Christ. Who better to introduce them to their Savior than you? So you can start with your family when you're looking for your one. You can start with close friends. Like, who do you call when you want to share stuff with, when you build something or something bad happens? Who do you call that's not a non-believer or unchurched? that may very well be the one that you need to be witnessing to. What about your neighbor? Before we built our house where we live now, I introduced myself to the neighbors. Before we even started tearing up the ground there, I wanted to see what kind of soil was there. I wanted to see, is this neighbor saved? Is this neighbor saved? Because I need to start praying for them, and I need to start moving towards that. How can I look for open doors? And as soon as I begin to meet my two neighbors, lo and behold, they're involved in other churches. I'm like, okay, I still don't know if you're saved, but it looks like you already have your faith secured, you know? So I suggest the same thing with you guys. Your neighbor may want to hear the gospel, but I don't know who they are. You do. Give it a shot. Cashiers are servers. You know, just think about all the people. I see this one guy when I bring Aiden to school and I'm heading back home. He's a business owner in Newberry, but he stops at a gas station by my house every single morning, every morning, every morning, every morning. And I'm thinking, man, he has to know all the cashiers or whoever works at that store when you do it every single morning. But wouldn't that be a great opportunity to witness to someone if you see them 5 days a week? But you don't, I mean, it's just 5 minutes of casting and sowing those seeds. So just think about that, cashier or server. What about a classmate? Excuse me. For those of you who are in school or you're in class, look at those people. You should be able to start reaching out to them. What about those you went to school with, for some of us? Great opportunity. All of them have been dealt crazy cards of life, right? But you know what kind of influences they have? Are they getting? All the people that say divorce is the answer. I've been through 7 of them, and they have helped every time. You know, that's the type of, response they're getting. Or forget him or forget her. You just don't worry about your kids. Abandon them. You guys know what I'm talking about. That's the only type of help they're getting. They need Christian influence. They need godly influence. So look at classmates. Look at teammates. For those of you who are in sports, I talked to my son about his game and his team that he's on, and some of them treat him wrong, and some of them make fun of him. I said, Bub, when you need to learn from them. Do what they don't do. So when you are in their position, don't talk about your other team players. Don't make fun of them. Instead, give them an opportunity to play. Invest in them. You can make a difference. Okay? You can be a witness. What about us parents who our children are on the sports field? That's a great opportunity to connect with other parents. I know a lot of times for me, I'm just watching what's going on in the field. But I'm reminded as I was preparing for this message, when Naomi was in school, I would go, because I was available, and I would go on these field trips. And as soon as we get in a bus to go on a field trip, the first thing I do is look for who can I witness to. And we ended up, the kids are playing on a playground or walking through the zoo, and I'm walking next to another parent. And I'm just starting to ask questions. I'm starting to listen. I'm trying to look for ways that I can influence their life because God appointed me to be there at that one. But it's just a field trip to the zoo. No, it's an opportunity. Amen? So this is coming on my mind. Same thing with Naomi when she got to middle school. We're on 2.5-hour drive to Tampa. What am I doing? I'm going to connect with one of the teachers. Lo and behold, ended up taking another teacher, a vice principal, on trips to Haiti. That's not like, can I tell you about Jesus? That's a little bit more, right? People that worked with Brandy in the hospital. Next thing you know, I'm taking 2 of those people to Haiti. And it all starts with friendships. Everybody say friendship. So the second thing you want to do when you're fishing for people is you want to initiate the spiritual. Okay, so we can talk about hunting, we can talk about fishing, we can talk about shopping, we can talk about our kids and the teams and their pageants and whatever the case may be, but sometimes you're going to have to involve or initiate the spiritual conversation. Everybody say initiate. So you look at Jesus' model that he did. He could have walked around just preaching and teaching, and he did that at times. But there are other times that he just had interaction with people, right? He would just ask them questions. A lot of those times, those questions seemed very random, very open-ended. But why did he ask questions? Because he wanted to get people to start thinking about what is spiritual. Just think about the conversations you have with some of your peers, coworkers, friends, families. You have some crazy conversations. Like, they encounter some unique situations. But what are you doing to use those conversations around lunch or the coffee pot or the water cooler to just begin initiating the spiritual conversations. Look for those opportunities. Just think about that. And Jesus would ask certain questions. Why? Because it would stir up curiosity. Everybody say curiosity. So just think about those conversations and how you engage with people on a weekly basis. Jesus would ask questions because he wanted to stir up curiosity. Now, when you initiate the spiritual conversations, we need to ask questions. That's how we gain access into those people's lives. But before we start asking those serious questions, I want us to start to listen. Everybody say, listen. And not only do we listen, but we need to listen well. Now, how many of you used to be multitaskers, but now that you got a few gray hairs, it is hard to, like, do three things at one time? Man, it's killing me. I'm like, I used to do this stuff like 8 or 9 times with my eyes closed and one hand tied, and now I can't even get it done, and it's full daylight, and I'm working at my own pace. What is going on? But when you initiate these conversations, you need to start listening well, because when you listen, you have access into their home or into their life. So here's one thing. I want you to listen for 3 knots. Everybody say 3 knots. I'm not talking about K-N-O-T. I'm talking about N-O-T. So when you're having a conversation with someone, you want to be listening for at least 3 knots. I'm not feeling well. How often do we hear that? Right? I'm not from around here. I'm not used to going to church. I'm not acquainted with any religion. I'm not religious. You see how many knots I just gave you? Now, was that out of context? I mean, no, we hear those statements all the time. I'm not enjoying what's happening in my life. I am not prepared for what happened last week. Right? It's just normal conversations. But when you hear those 3 knots, it could be however many you want, but I'm just giving you a number. What is that saying? That's saying that there are things that are going on in that person's life that aren't pleasant. Right? There is uncertainty. There is discomfort in their life, but also it may be something that's going on in their heart. They're unsettled. They don't have clarity. They don't have direction. They haven't discovered their purpose that God has given them, right? So when you hear those 3 knots, that is open door for you to go in and begin to speak positivity, to be able to speak hope and to speak faith into their lives. Do you see what I mean? They didn't have to hold up a sign that said, "Can you please tell me about Jesus?" They just had to tell you some of the things that are not going the way they expected in their life. And that's a great open door for you to go in and begin to ask questions. Some of the questions you could ask is, okay, has your life always not been like this? Oh, no. Life used to be great until this accident. Life used to be great until this relationship went sour. Life used to be great until I lost this job. Life used to be... Okay, so then you start asking more questions. Well, are there outside things that have contributed to what is going on in your life? You guys get this. This is just simple conversation, but I want you to understand that you have a goal, and that's to initiate the spiritual conversation. Now, with that is when you begin to listen, you ask questions, you ask good questions, and when you ask these questions, you can begin to apply a little cycle. I call it the prayer, care, share cycle. Now, you can start with either three. It's like 3 pedals on a bicycle. You just start anyone, it's going to keep going in the same direction. You can start with prayer, you can start with share, you can start with care. But when you ask these questions and they give you answers, you're a good listener, then you say, hey, look, man, it seems like you're really going through such and such. Would you mind if I pray with you right now? Right here, right now? Yes. And you pray with them. That starts the cycle. Many times after you pray for them, right there and then, they may start asking you questions. Man, I've never had that happen before. Where'd you learn how to pray like that? Right? They start, why do you pray? What did you just do? They just helped you initiate the spiritual conversation. So you care about them. Man, I'm really sorry. See, it's that prayer, care, and share. Man, do you mind if I pray with them? I'm really sorry that you're going through this. I went through something like this, and it is hard. Listen, I'm here with you. You call me on a daily basis. You send me a text. You whatever. You call, I will be there. They understand that you care. Y'all heard this statement before. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you. So why not start the cycle with caring about them, okay? Then praying with them, and then you get to share with them. Man, that sounds a lot really similar to what I experienced 4 years ago, 2 months ago, 4 days ago. Can I? Do you mind if I share with you how I made it through? I guess. You made it through? This happened to you? Yes, it did. And you begin to share how God's strength, His word, His church family helped you make it through that. Do y'all see this little cycle? Simple things that you can just start memorizing. F for friendship, I for initiate the spiritual conversation, and then you can care, prayer, and share cycle as you get involved in their lives. Amen? So when you initiate the spiritual conversations, you're going to listen, you're going to ask questions, and you're also going to leverage your life. Everybody say leverage. Leverage. What does that mean, Pastor Damon? Leverage your life. The most simplest form that I can give you, leverage your life, that you can visualize or kind of imagine, is I want you to think intersection. Everybody say intersection, not addition. Intersection, not addition, okay? So when you look at your life and you look at evangelizing or sharing the gospel with other people, it's going to start with friendships, some sort of connection. You're going to initiate the spiritual content or conversations, right? And the way that you're going to do that is you're going to leverage your life with where you are with them. You're going to look at intersection rather than addition. There are things that you have already going on in your life. For many of you, you're married, you have a job, you probably have pets, you probably have children and grandchildren, right? Those are things that you have going in your life. And when Pastor Damon or other preachers or teachers get up and say, you need to start witnessing to people, you need to start evangelizing, you look at all your life that's occupied by all the things that you're already doing, it's hard to stop a train. And I'm not talking about air conditioning. But when you're all going in the same direction, I can't stop and start witnessing to these people. I can't spiritually adopt this person as a spiritual project, right? So what do? We just kind of, I don't have time. I can't do it. It's not going to happen. So when I say intersection rather than addition, I don't want you to add anything to your life, although that may be needed. That's between you and the Lord. But I want you to intersect evangelism with your life. You're already showing up at your grandchildren's dance recital. You're already showing up at the soccer field or baseball fields, right? That's the direction of your life. You want to use that as a leverage. And you start, hey, look, or maybe some of you don't do anything with anybody else, but you have nice hobbies. You like to do woodworking. You like to weld. You like to paint. You like to draw. You like to do crafts. Well, instead of creating or doing something else in your schedule, you find a way to intersect what you do now with inviting a non-believer to participate with you in that. Does that make sense? Back in November, my son and I were hunting on his birthday, and he harvested a buck for his birthday, and we're fixing to leave, and I asked the guy, hey, man, you mind if I help? My words in my heart was, do you mind if I help serve you? And we offered to help them. Lo and behold, we begin to F a relationship. While we were going out to fishing, I began to initiate the spiritual. I would ask questions and I would listen well. You guys following me? We had some spiritual conversations about this person, and he was, you know, went to church as a kid, but no family support. It was all on his own. Something happened that pushed him away from church, and he hasn't ever thought about it again. And he's 40-something years old, raising 5 kids. 3 of them are adopted. F for friendships. I is for initiate the spiritual. 3rd is for share the gospel. So I made it my point. Man, do you mind if I share with you? I used to have some of those same issues. Can I share with you how God has helped me through this? Lo and behold, this person is still in connections with me. Lo and behold, he was with me last night at Ken Markham's house with 2 of his sons eating dinner at Sandy and Ken's dinner table, someone I met in November. Do you guys get where I'm going? I still don't know if the guy is going to fully give his heart to Christ. I don't know that yet. But what am I doing? I'm practicing fishing for men. You guys follow me. Not only that, so he's now joining a hunting club that I'm in with Ken and another man from our church. So now he's involved at least with three Christians that I know. What am I doing? I'm getting that baby as close to the other fish as possible, our kind of fish, right? If I don't do it, I'll never know. I got to do it. And I'm asking that you guys, I didn't add something else to my life. I looked for an intersection. So look at that in your, I can't give you examples other than what I have done in my own. I want to show you on the screen this little testimony, okay? If you want to give your attention there. This is from Hoosier One Ministry, I guess just a vision that they're doing. You may not can read it, but I already says, I was telling my one, the person that they know is their one to witness to this week, a story about forgetting to turn the water on while they were pressure washing, and her one laughed and said, you don't know how to use the pressure washer, but you sure do know how to talk about Jesus. See that? This led to yet another conversation with her. So just an intersection. Some other people may have the same interest as you. Use those to leverage your life. Can I get an amen? So with this, using your leverage to influence their life, you're looking for intersections. I want you to prepare for objections. When you share how God brought you through such and such, when you share your testimony, when you share the truth of God's word or what you believe out of the Bible, you may surely, undoubtedly, get objections. I won't believe that. I just can't believe that. Do you really believe this stuff? Well, no, I prayed before and I asked God to do such and such and he didn't answer my prayer, so I have no use for him. They're going to object what you have to offer them. And I was thinking about fishing and I watched some videos because I know fish will hit the lure that I put in the water. You guys, I'm talking some language now. Like you're working on the presentation. Number one, the lure's working because you caught fish last time you were there and you're going to the same spot at the same time with the same lure, same fishing line, but they're not even touching it. And you're like, it's got to be my presentation. So then you're trying to, do I make it bounce on the bottom? Do I make it go fast? And you got Aiden who doesn't give all that effort towards how to present the bait. And he's just slamming them in the boat. Bam, bam. Like, redfish, trout, flounder. I'm like, dude, are you spitting on it? You rubbing underneath your arm or what? Like, something's different. Daddy, I'm just reeling in and fast. So I'll throw a lure out there. I'm just. Listen, when you're witnessing to people, you're going to feel a bump. They're going to, ooh. And you see it in their eyes. And they zone into what you're saying. Like, ooh, finally, I'm getting to bring them in. I'm getting to bring him in. And next thing you know, nothing. But what do we do as fishermen? Say it again. The same lure, the same hole, and we're doing the same presentation. People aren't dumb and fish aren't dumb. Rarely will you catch the same fish that just got, he objected your lure. People are the same way. So what do? No problem, man. I'll be back next week with a different lure. I'll be back next week with a different conversation. I'll be back next week with a different questions. I'm going to listen differently. I may even bring a few things to kind of stir up our friendship, like a gift. Like I listened well and heard you when you said you liked such and such, and you bring it. Guys, y'all can do this. It's very powerful. The guy that I'm talking to and talking about, I said, look, man, can we have lunch? Because I want to invest in our friendship. These are grown men who don't know each other. I want to invest in our friendship. And he says, man, I just showed that to my wife. And she's like, wow, I wish I had someone like that. These are grown people, and yet they're still starving for friendship from strangers that they met deer hunting. Are you following me? It can happen, okay? So you share, you begin to share the gospel is the next thing in fish. So you want to build friendships. You want to initiate the spiritual context or, conversations. And then you want to share the gospel. I want you to see this on the screen. I'll give you one more little example of sharing the gospel. Here's one who wrote in to Who's Your One. I dropped off quarantine goodie bags for my neighbors and all the neighbors, toilet paper, who figured, paper towels, cookies, coffee, and a note letting them know I was praying for them. It goes on to say that my Muslim neighbors called and thanked me. Called and thanked me. I got a chance to share the gospel with them. We talked for 2 hours. Leverage your life. You're not adding something to your life. Evidently, this person is something that they do. Wow, this is an opportunity to give care packages to my neighbors during quarantine time. Just be creative with those manners, and you'll see open doors begin to happen. Amen? So whenever you begin to share the gospel, one of the best ways to share the gospel is do what this person did, and that is to serve. Everybody say serve. The big serve, we did that a couple of weeks ago, right? You begin to impact communities when we begin serving. Brandy's parents, you know, they had some long-haired, bloodshot eye, always wanting to sleep guy dating their daughter. And they said, we've got to kill him and bury him, sink him in a river, or we got to lead him to Jesus. Which one do we do? You know, well, they chose to try and lead me to Jesus, and they did. They witnessed to me, and I saw it in their lifestyle. But one of the most emphatic ways that they witnessed to me was serving me. Now, no, they didn't set out tablecloths. They said, Sir Damon, please come and eat your dinner. You know, no. They said, look, we're going to give you a job for the summer, but boy, the last day, you better be gone. We'll give you a job. We'll pay you such as you got to eat dinner at our house every day. Oh, by the way, I'll wash all your clothes for you every week. Just bring them to the house and we'll wash all your clothes. And I'm like, I smell something fishy. Y'all smell fish? But you know what that did? They showed something to me that no one has ever shown me. And it was unconditional love. And because of that, I still preach and teach and talk about it because I remember it, because it's what helped lead me to Jesus. They served me. And I'm not saying served as in, you know, I was something. They just extended love. So just look for ways that you can serve people and you will see them come to Christ, especially if the Holy Spirit is moving their life, right? No? Some of y'all falling asleep already. So you want to serve people. You want to offer to do things for them. Hey, man, I hear you having a problem getting the kids to such and such on time. How about I help take care of your dogs this morning, or help bring your kids, or help such and such? Just a simple, hey, can I help? Everybody say, can I help? Can I help? Can I help? See, he's dying off already. He's getting old. Can we go to lunch? Can we go to dinner? Can I bring you something? So we serve them. That's how it gives the open door to share the gospel, share our testimony, ask them what their spiritual beliefs are. Do you believe in God? Be prepared for the answers. Be prepared for the responses. And know that one of the objections is fine. You don't have to have all the answers, right? You're just trying to lead them. You're fishing for people, trying to get them in the boat. You're not trying to become a Bible scholar or a nationally well-known theologian, right? You're just trying to share what God has done in your life. You want to share your testimony. You want to share the gospel. Share with them that the only way that you were able to overcome this challenge in your life was because of your relationship and your faith with Jesus. The only way that you made it through this difficult period in your life was because of your church family. One little holy How many of us have made it through something in our life because of our church family? Amen. A lot of us. There's some of you that are sitting here this morning. I know the church family helped you get through and is still helping you get through whatever issues that you have had to battle. Let them know that. Let them know the people you're on the soccer fields with go to your church. The people you're at the gym with go to your church. The people you're in a hunting lease with go to your church. So it's not just a separate thing. This is my lifestyle. Leverage your life. And the last thing with fish is to help them make a decision. I can't tell you when that moment needs to come where you help them make a decision, But you need to be ready for it. You need to be listening. You need to be waiting for those opportunities. And if you're anything like me, and like David, David has discipled a number of people. You get to that H and you're like, I need help to make a decision. And you're just waiting for that comment or that statement or that facial expression like, yes, you just want to yank them just out the water straight into the ice chest. You just want to get them in. And then they pop the line, right? Or they spit the lure out right there. You're like, ugh! Then you want to blame it on the wind, the water. You want to blame it on the girl that came back in the man's life. You want to blame it back on the job. You know what I'm saying? Just keep fishing. Everybody's just keep fishing. Just keep fishing. Because there's a lot of fish out there. We want to help them make the decision. And one of the ways that you can clearly help people make a decision is you give them the truth of God's word. Romans 3:23, everyone sitting underneath the sound of my voice online and in this room, you should know Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. It's not on the screen. For all have sinned. Who many? How? All. So when you're telling your friend that you're trying to help make that decision, you're not saying, man, I see sin all over your life. You're saying all have sinned. I used to do the same sins. I still mess up. This scripture says right here, we all fall short of the glory of God. Okay? Then you go to Romans 6:23, and you tell them, you know what? Because I sinned, because you sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God, because we sinned, the wages, the payment, what we earn is death, spiritual death, right? So, but the gift, so you're telling them the truth, that we're destined to be apart from God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Those are some scriptures that each and every one of us should have in our hearts. You help people make a decision. Giving your heart to Christ is a big decision. But now, as a lost person facing that decision, they're having to look at all these years of being surrounded by unchurched, ungodly life, people, lifestyles, practices. So not only they want God, they want that relationship. They want to be forgiven of their sins. They want guidance by this God you're telling them about. But then they look at the decision and they say, man, I'm going to lose all these friends. Wow, I might even have to break up this relationship and move out of my boyfriend's house or my girlfriend's house or whatever the case may be. And many times that's when they come off the hook, okay? Don't give up. Don't give up. Still keep casting. Still keep reaching out to them. They're not a spiritual project that when they don't come in the boat, you give up on them, right? Keep on witnessing. Keep on staying steady, because what they're hoping to do is for you to reject them because they didn't accept what you offered, and then they hold it against you. That's all they wanted me. They just wanted me to get this Jesus experience. No, you stay faithful until God tells you to dust your feet, okay? Are y'all hearing me? Is this helping anybody? Scripture says in Proverbs 8:17, this is what you need to let people know, that when you search for God, you will find him. Now, when you search for God, a lot of people categorize God as all kind of things. They see God in a lot of different ways, but always present the truth of what Scripture tells you and them. But Scripture says that, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. I'm not looking for a way out. I'm not looking for a way out of my sin. I'm looking for forgiveness of my sin and purpose for my life in eternity in heaven. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all of your heart. Everybody say, all of my heart. So as you help someone make that decision, I need you to assure them that they're not alone. You may be losing a lot of friends. You may end up breaking off a relationship. But you have us. You have your church family. Does that make sense? You let them know that they're not alone. Beth, you're not alone. People hear you. People listen. People are praying for you. People are there for you. Same thing for you, Drew. You've learned that you're not alone, right? You've had some hiccups. You've had some obstacles in life. All of us do. But we're not alone. We have Jesus, we have God, and we have our church family. So make sure that when you're fishing, when you're building friendships with people, your responsibility is to initiate the spiritual, right? You need to share the gospel. You need to share your testimony. Don't be bashful. Be bold. What did Christ do on the cross for us? That was not bashful at all. That was bold. That was brave. We can do the same thing with just sharing the gospel and help people make that decision. Don't just keep investing in their life and pouring all the truth of God's word and love and grace and serving them and not bring them to a place. Are you ready to make a decision? Decision about what? Listen, heaven is real, and so is hell. And I don't know if you noticed, COVID ain't the only thing killing people these days. A lot of us can die by a lot of other reasons. It's appointed. It's going to happen. So why wait till you're laying on your deathbed to get that stuff worked out? Why not get it worked out now so that you can actually live with a purpose and not continue on walking away from God? And just let your people know, let your friends know that we are all better together. Every time I've seen someone be the Lone Ranger, stay to himself or herself, they fall off the train. We are better together. You may pride yourself and say, I've never had to call on my church family. I don't do anything with my church family. I just go to church because it's just me and God. Go ahead and pride yourself on that. I would fear that mindset, that God might allow something to occur in your life to where you have to eat those words. Does that make sense? I value my church family. I value, I love my church family. My church family keeps me going. The messages, the check-ins, the calls, the cards. I value my church family. Don't you want that for your lost friend? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word and the truth that you present to us, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have clearly demonstrated that you are a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We thank you, God, that we are not alone. And God, we thank you that you've given us the call, the mandate, the demand, Lord, to lead others to Christ. And God, we don't have music ready right now. We don't have people getting up to lure us. But Lord, as I'm praying right now, I'm praying that people are beginning to see who their one person is. Maybe multiple ones, multiple fish that you have them going after, multiple men or women that you have them going after to lead to you. God, I pray that you reveal that to them in Jesus' name. God, I ask if anybody is not right with you here this morning, God, that they're still just dabbling in sin, they're still living straddling the fence, so to speak, God. Oh, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict them and show them what they're missing out when they live a holy and righteous life pursuing all that you have for them. We love you, God. We love you. And God, we love you so much that we want other people to be introduced to you for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.